Good afternoon. February 6th, regular meeting of the Chatham County Metropolitan, Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We're going to pause and do our Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you, and please be seated. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give it to staff at the desk there. If you are participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item that you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board, and finally the board will take action. All right. I guess we need a motion on the agenda.
Cole's motion to approve the agenda.
No, I second.
All right. All in favor? Voice vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have a couple of items that have been requested to be removed from the final agenda. Recombination subdivision, Warren Ward, 301 East Bay Street. Is there anyone who came for that particular item? All right. Do we have a motion?
Cole's motion to remove item one from the final agenda.
No, a second.
Voice vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And the second one was comprehensive plan future land use map amendment for 4801 Medding Street. Is there anyone here for that particular item? All right.
Cole's motion to remove item two from the final agenda.
No, a second.
Voice vote, all in favor? Any opposed? All right. There are no items requested to be withdrawn. On the consent agenda, there are two items. One is the approval of the January 16th meeting minutes. The other is a general development plan for 5731 Ogeechee Road. Does anyone have a desire to remove those from the consent agenda? Motion?
Cole's motion to approve consent agenda.
No, it's second.
All in favor, voice vote?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Old business, map amendment to request to rezone from R2EO to PRAEO, 9965 Ferguson Avenue and 101 Bethesda. 1001, yes, thank you. Bethesda.
Madam Chair, I'd ask for a brief recess until Mr. Morrow can return. We're trying to update the graphics. You carried too quickly through the front end of the agenda.
I'm sorry. All right. Can we go on to the next agenda item, the special use requesting bar lounger? Is Mr. Morrow going to be doing that one as well?
We can do 7 and 9.
7 and 9. All right, let's go ahead and do 7 then.
Yes, amend the agenda.
Okay.
Coles make the motion to amend the agenda to move items 7 through 9 or 7 and 9?
7 and 9.
7 and 9 ahead of old business.
But no, a second.
All in favor, voice vote?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, number 7. This is a map amendment to request to rezone from R2AEO to PDNTC, 6703 Johnny Mercer Boulevard.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commission members. My name is Brad Clement. I'll be speaking on behalf of the MPC. I'd ask that the staff report and pertinent exhibit items be entered into the record. The subject parcel is located at 6703 Johnny Mercer Boulevard in between Wall Tower and directly behind the First Baptist Church of the Islands. Current zoning, as you mentioned, is R2AEO. The structure has been used as a commercial use for a number of years and has been so in a non-conforming capacity. The rezoning brings it into legal conformity by putting it in a planned non-conforming town center zoning district catch-all bucket that the county uses to deal with these sorts of things. In the review of this, it was noticed by staff that there are some things happening along the Johnny Mercer corridor that should prompt this board or either the county commission to revisit the future land use map. The future land use map has all of these as single-family residential. The ship may have sailed on that, and so to sort of correct the map and make things right, this rezoning is appropriate. The use for a counseling center is a low intensity commercial use, and there are some conditions on the approval that limit the future development of the site. Here's a picture of the site as it previously existed. It had been out of use for about a year. It doesn't quite look like that. But we'd ask that the building not be altered in its size or intensity other than aesthetic improvement of the exterior of the building or to make any changes, regrading of the parking lot or accessibility issues for ADA compliancy conformity, and that the petitioner provide a shared parking. Mm-hmm. A shared parking plan, which they have done just this afternoon with First Baptist Church. So staff recommends approval with those conditions.
All right. Is the applicant here? Come forward, please, and state your name for the record. Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon. My name is Whitney Owens.
Do you have anything you want to add?
I'm looking forward to having a counseling center in an area that's in need.
All right. Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff or Ms. Owens?
I have a question for staff. It is nonconforming, and the catch was that it was nonconforming for more than 1 year. Is that correct? That's
correct. So time period had lapsed, and so this is the
1 year mark. So if a business, any business would have come in prior to the 1 year, it could have just been transferred to another.
That's correct.
All right. Any other questions? Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak? Oh, Mr. Kale, is that right? Sorry.
That's correct. Thank you. Yes, so my name is Brooks Kale. I'm the senior pastor at First Baptist Church of the Islands, the property that is immediately adjacent there on the corner of Johnny Mercer and Penwaller. I do want to say that we're excited about having Water's Edge Counseling there right next to us. It is definitely an improvement and a need there in our community. Our church has been there for a long time, and our desire is to see that community enhanced and take steps forward, not backwards, and Water's Edge will do a great job of doing that. My question revolves really around the rezoning in the event down the road, whether that be sooner or later or ever, that Water's Edge should relocate. What would this rezoning allow in that space? Again, we would have a vested interest in certain types of entities not taking residence there. And in the event that it is a wide open door for anyone to move in, even those that would have a detrimental effect on the community, what recourse would we have? So that would be my question. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Because of the P in front of the designation, anything that should move in subsequent, that use and the intensity of that use would have to be approved by the board just as this is being approved today.
All right. Thank you. Does that answer your question? Any other public comment? All right. Any questions by board? All right. I'll entertain a motion.
Calls motion to approve staff's recommendation.
With the conditions. Was it that?
Yes, with conditions 1 and 2.
Yes. No, a second.
All right. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika, would you care to vote or?
Yes, and I vote yes.
Okay. Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Woody?
Yes.
All right. I too vote yes. Motion passes. And number 9. I'm sorry.
9.
Go ahead and do 9.
Yes.
SDP with variance for gravel surface, 394 Argyle Road.
Brad Clement for the MPC. I'd ask that the staff report and all pertinent exhibits be entered into the record. Subject parcel is located at 390 Fort Argyle Road. That's somewhat of a misnomer. It's actually 200 feet off of Fort Argyle Road, located off of an access road to a larger warehousing operation. But it does have a Fort Argyle address. The use for this site and the light industrial zoning would be a by right use depending on which of the three bins you tried to put it in. It is for a repossession transshipment lot.
We're showing Ferguson Avenue and Bethesda Road, sorry. There you go.
Better? There we go. Subject parcel and site plan. The proposed use is a repositioned transshipment yard for vehicles that have otherwise unwillingly been relocated to an off parcel. They hover there for about 7 to 10 days, and then they're shipped out elsewhere. Because of that use and its uniqueness, trying to easily pigeonhole this into either open storage, dedicated parking, towing impound lot, none of it could go in any one of them, but not cleanly. and it certainly doesn't encompass all the strictures applied to all of those. So what we looked at were ways we could maybe get around having an acre of pavement out in an otherwise forested area right now. Its site's currently undeveloped. Although there's warehousing, it's completely encircled by light industrial and likely to stay that way. We thought that this may be an alternative to bring in some light intensity development or some green infrastructure, which we haven't tried. So this will be an experiment, and that is where the variance goes to. So the variance, instead of using all pavement, we're using compacted gravel and sod. We've taken the part about the concealment fence from the outdoor storage. And so you can see we've sort of fit in Frankenstein pieces together to get the site plan that we're asking for approval with this variance. One of the things that we didn't look at was setbacks because it's in a fence. There's a vegetated buffer. What setbacks would be appropriate behind a fence and behind trees that nobody can see in a light industrial zone? The point of this is to maximize the number of vehicles that can be put on the lot. Based on discussions I've had with the petitioner, you're looking at any time, probably 80 vehicles. With all of those discussions, acknowledging that one of the reasons for doing this is the cost threshold to establish this use, but because of the nature of this use and it's sort of transient, you know, if more development comes into the area and the use has to leave again, then the redevelopment costs are also low. There are several strictures as it relates to Georgia Stormwater, Water Quality Commission, and erosion control and pollutant things. And so the question is often asked, well, is it stormwater? Is it, what are the controls here? Stormwater would be the controlling to establish that paved surface. But that's based on those erosion control measures that are in engineering plans. Because this will stay in a more natural site for the duration of the use, it will be a self-enforced stipulation on the petitioner for the duration of that use to maintain those things in those erosion control measures. I point that out because it's one of the conditions that staff attaches to recommendation for approval, is that these things be constantly maintained for the duration of that use, and that any changes to the intensity of that operation or expansion of that operation would prompt a further review by the MPC. Staff recommends approval for this site development plan with variance for green infrastructure.
All right, thank you. Is the applicant here? Please state your name.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Trent Long with TR Long Engineering here on behalf of the owner. I think you did a wonderful job presenting to you what we're trying to do. Again, this is a repossession yard. These are operable vehicles, so it's not like we're bringing a bunch of vehicles here that are not operable or leaky or anything like that. And they're there for a short period of time until they're moved to their new homes. So transient in nature, not a lot of in and out. So, again, we're trying to make sure we have the green infrastructure and try to meet the stormwater requirements and obviously keep the cost of construction for this type of activity down.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions? Mr. Noah?
Either the petitioner or staff, what was the number of vehicles?
80 to 100.
So 100. The word expansion under condition 3, I just want to –
expansion in our view when we wrote this report was the addition of a building, permanent employee parking, other uses not part of this plan as proposed.
So
if an upper threshold of 100 vehicles, I don't want to talk about what a good day in the business looks like.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. We're talking about expanding the operation, not necessarily
beyond
the number
the principal
of vehicles
things contained in this plan.
Thank you.
Perfect.
All right, Ms. Bowles.
Good afternoon. Were other sites considered?
Yes, ma'am. We've looked at several different sites, and he's actually been on a site that's adjacent to this for the last couple of years, 10 months. It's a dirt site now, so we're trying to move to a site that is his to utilize. And yes, ma'am, we did look at a couple other sites. There are a couple others that you'd have been at in the past, three other sites that, and this one was kind of out of the way and out of everybody's eyesight as well.
Okay, so you're saying adjacent to where this site is where he was located for 10 months, and that is a dirt site currently?
It is dirt currently, yes, ma'am.
What was it? Was it green site previously?
It was dirt when he started.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Is there anybody in the audience who wanted to speak on this? Anybody online?
No, ma'am.
All right. I'll entertain a motion or discussion.
No one makes a motion to approve staff's recommendation of approval with the conditions listed in the report.
Cole, second.
All right, any discussion? Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
No.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Nochica?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
No.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion carries. All right, and we're going to go back to old business now. Map amendment to request a rezone from R2EO to PRAEO, 9965 Ferguson Avenue and 1001 Bethesda.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Nice to see you all again. This is a matter that has come before this board previously.
We are looking at the wrong one.
Yes, we're on Ferguson and Bethesda, and we see Bull. All right, there we go.
We're going to get it together at some point today. All right. So this is a matter that this board has heard before. Again, 9965 Ferguson. You can see the subject parcels that are requested to be rezoned. This is a petition that came to us from a code enforcement matter. There is a non-conforming lawn care, outdoor nursery, outdoor storage, nursery type use that is located on parcels that are currently zoned R2A, which is a residential two-family zoning designation. And in speaking with the petitioner about a possible course of action, we are seeking rezoning for a planned residential agriculture designation to permit this somewhat outdoor storage, in essence, this activity in support of a nursery or lawn care business. Just to give everybody some context, we can see that we are deep south of town near the intersection of Diamond Causeway and Ferguson. This is very near to the the Kroger Shopping Center. Pertinent here is the zoning map. So you can see, can everyone see my cursor?
Mm-mm.
Okay, no cursor.
There we go.
Okay, awesome. So we can see these are the subject parcels adjoining. To the north here, we have this large parcel that is zoned residential agriculture. This is the Kroger Shopping Center. We have an R3, which is a multifamily designation that's currently occupied by a mobile home park. And this is part of this particular area here, which is zoned two-family. So the idea is that we are going to create a zoning designation that would fit well in the context of what will likely become low-density residential use in the future to the north. And so that planned residential agriculture designation would potentially allow the petitioner, if the board sees fit, to continue its operations and at the same time to be coherent and to exist peacefully with what's happening in its surroundings. This is a image of the proposed site plan. This is a structure that the petitioner would like to construct for an office use, and you can see here that we have designated several bays that are for storage of materials, mulch, and I'm sure other landscape materials, also some parking spaces for vehicles as well as other equipment. The petitioner has several box trucks and I think some skid steers that are intended to be on site. And so in essence, the idea here is that we're going to create sort of a neat and orderly organization or use of the parcel that kind of takes everything that's intended to be used into account, but the expectation is not further expansion of the use, rather to bring it into conformance, as again, this came to us as a code enforcement case. Currently, I just have a photo here so that you can see this is the entrance. This is a fence that has kind of a black mesh screening, and this is the entry to the site, which is located at about this point right here, if you can see my cursor. And so proposed access to the site would go into the same unopened right-of-way. It is possible, as this is a conceptual plan and not a general development plan, that the petitioner would need to make some changes with regard to what's happening here. But generally speaking, this is a notional concept of how this site would be organized in order to bring it into compliance. With that, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. And staff's recommendation is for approval for the one parcel that is just over 1 acre with the following conditions. Sorry, just to make sure. These are the two parcels that are subject. The parcel I'm referencing is this one right here. That particular parcel is recommended for approval with the conditions. The first be that there shall be no retail sales on the site, but only that the site be used by employees. No deliveries or operation of heavy equipment between 6:30 p.m. and 6:30 a.m. All work vehicles, trailers, and heavy equipment shall be parked in identified parking areas. Other equipment shall be stored indoors or in vehicles and trailers. Landscape materials shall be stored in identified storage areas. There shall be a 15-foot buffer with an opacity of at least 85% surrounding the site, and a privacy fence 6 feet in height shall be placed at the 15-foot setback. The buffer shall be landscaped where it adjoins improved right-of-way. For the record, I'd like to just kind of insert the note that I've had some conversations with the petitioner. It is not our intent that there be two fences on the property, but that the only fence be the one that is noted here. So if the existing fence is not at the 15-foot setback, that is not the fence we are referencing here. We're asking that there be only one fence and that every portion that would adjoin improved right-of-way. So currently, Ferguson Avenue is improved. The intent is that that portion adjoining Ferguson be landscaped. In the future, should the unopened right-of-way be improved, that side should also be landscaped where it adjoins that right-of-way. Finally, no composting activity shall be permitted. Debris shall not be permitted to accumulate, and any stored material piles shall not be of a height visible from rights of way or adjoining properties. Further, staff recommends denial for the smaller parcel. Again, I'll refer to the site plan. This is the smaller parcel that is just off to the side here. I do believe there's some activity that's happening in this unopened right of way. Just to note for the record also, the intent is that all activity be contained within this one particular parcel and that this use not be extended to this second smaller parcel that you can see identified here with this parcel ID number at 1001 Bethesda. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Is the applicant here? All right, come on forward. State your name for the record.
Can I ask a question of staff first before the petitioner?
I prefer to wait until after the petitioner has.
Good afternoon. My name is Don Dykes. I'm with Dykes Law Group, and I represent Mr. Glenn Brist, who's the property owner. Y'all may recall that we were here back in November, I believe it was, on this petition originally. And at the time staff report came out, there were some conditions attached to it that we didn't really get to see until we got to this meeting. It was continued to allow us to address those. I had gotten a number of these conditions that were to the satisfaction of my client. I thought the county's satisfaction to them early on. And so I'm just seeing some of the latest revisions. The county had it to one item. I think the rest of the items we were all in agreement on. But let me just back up. Do you have my PowerPoint?
Yeah.
That was just my conditions. But that's it. Yeah, there we go. All right. Let me jump through. I don't know that I want to run back through the entire presentation again for you, but when we're looking at the property where it's sited, it's directly across from a mobile home park, crossways from the Marsh Point Shopping Center, which is zoned as a PUD, but a BN zoning, and the Bethesda Tract, which I thought was CN, but it may be an RA. And, you know, this came as a code enforcement action, so we looked at the two options that would fit my client's use, which is a kind of a nursery landscape business, and one was a BN zoning, which would be similar to the one at Marsh Point, but had a lot of other potential uses that could be done, or we could elect a downzone. And given that we only want to use the property consistent with its current use as a landscaping and nursery, plant nursery, we decided to downzone it to the RA zoning. Now, the property, if I can get down here, is bisected by an unopened right-of-way that the county has, the Lehigh Avenue and Bethesda Road, and as part of this, we've been working with the county. That's actually what we're in the process of doing before the enforcement action, is working with the county to close that unopened section that bisects the property. One of their only complaints was that on a map that provided access to two lots that were further back, tucked away to the west, to the left-hand side of the map. We have just recently, in fact, last week, recorded an easement agreement between the landowner just to the south and those parties that the county was worried about having access, a legal right of access to their property. They've been using an easement, a road that's shown there on the plat in that crosshatched 15-foot-wide easement. Easement's existed since 1978, just didn't have a plat with it, somewhat vague legal description. We were able to get the parties to sign an easement agreement with this plat and get it recorded, which I believe has satisfied the county now. The county has just indicated, go ahead and send us a quitclaim deed, and we'll look at what we need to do to close the road if you've satisfied that condition. That said, that is our expectation. We'll be able to close that road at some point in the future. And I know the staff is opposed to rezone that back parcel. But if MPC is going to have any hesitancy to rezone that at this time, we'd at least ask that it be conditioned or it be rezoned on condition that we close that right away. And I expect that we'll be able to do that in short order. We took some time to rework these conditions. And I believe the only condition that we have any disagreement on at this point is this privacy fence. And now my client has an existing fence around the property. It's a new fence. It was put up just in the last couple of years. This is a picture of the gate there, but it's a chain link fence. And it sits more or less at the property line. He had it installed. It was cost of over $30,000 to put this thing there. And, you know, we don't want to be required to relocate that to a different location just to provide a privacy fence. And quite frankly, we're not sure a privacy fence is even needed. Let me give you the view from And some of you may recall the view across the street and with the neighbors, but it sits across from a mobile home park. Which many of the buildings there are in disrepair. There's a toilet, you know, right directly across the street from the property, out in the yard, and a Santa Claus hanging from the tree. On the Bethesda parcel just to the north is a homeless encampment. And if you look, this is the fence on the right that exists at the property line to keep people from encroaching on the property. We don't want to have to move that back 15 feet. And this is a view from the encampment in there back at the fence. So these are the things that we're being asked to put a privacy fence up to block their view into this particular site. We're fine putting a landscape buffer along the Ferguson Avenue right away. I don't know that a privacy fence is going to provide what the county hopes, because at that point the property dips down. And so you're really looking over the top of the fence. And the client's intention is to provide a landscape buffer, to provide the privacy through landscaping and not with a privacy fence. And I don't think the privacy fence, if it was placed there along Ferguson, is going to provide any visual buffer or a vision blockage to what's on the other side of the fence. It's just going to be too low without fixing. So what we would propose, and this I believe is the fourth item or the fourth condition that the county had proposed, just that there'd be a 15-foot vegetative buffer along with an capacity of at least 85% along Ferguson Avenue and adjoining properties. That would include the right-of-way, the easement along that private drive that goes in on the south and along Bethesda's property. They would have a buffer, but not a privacy fence. We just don't think it's necessary. It would create a lot of additional cost to pull that up and relocate it. And I think the only other thing that's missing here, now we have an objection to that, but making the buffer along Ferguson a landscape buffer rather than a vegetative buffer, we're fine with that. But those would be the changes to the condition, just that fourth condition.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, I have several. The fence that runs parallel, if you will, to Ferguson Avenue.
Right.
Is it, you're telling me that it is on the property line?
Got a survey here. Let's see if they've located it. That's right on the-
I pass this location probably 20 times a day, and it appears that the fence is well off the road. I don't know what the easement is, the right-of-way for what is. I can't read the Ferguson Avenue right-of-way, or can staff indicate?
You know how far that is off the road.
Is that 50 feet, 80 feet?
What's your best?
My name's Glenn Briss. I would estimate the fence being at a minimum 15 on further, maybe 40 to 50 feet back from the property line on the along Ferguson.
Right. So simply placing a vegetative buffer with an opacity of 85%, you wouldn't necessarily have to move that part, that fence on Ferguson, correct?
I wouldn't believe so, no.
Right. And the fence that runs along Bethesda's property and along the unopened right-of-way, and we need to make sure there's a difference between an easement and a right-of-way, but that unopened right-of-way, that may be on the property line, possibly, or close to it. But the fence along Ferguson, it appears to be set way at least 15, 20 foot off the
yes, sir.
Off of what would appear to be the property line. Does that seem right?
Most of the, yes, sir. I would estimate that far.
Okay.
Any other questions? Go ahead. Not right now. All right, go ahead, Ms. Bowles.
So what is the height of the existing fence, the one that you...
I believe it's 7 feet.
7 feet? Chain link fence.
You can, and let me go back to the picture of the gate. You kind of see the gate and the fence there together.
Well, so for the record, there's several on different documents, both staff and it's 10,001, not 1,001 for the second parcel.
Oh, thank you.
Just to make sure that it goes into the record correctly.
Sorry, so what was the question? The correction of the address at 10,001.
10,001.
Understood.
One of zeros.
You have more questions?
It would be for staff.
Go ahead.
In their response to the proposal that the petitioner has presented, but I can wait until the other commissioners have questions.
All right, Mr. Stevens.
Just want to clarify, you said that you guys currently have an executed easement and or agreement with the county or?
Not with the county. So okay. The county's objection, let me just go back to this plat here and show you. So the unopened road that comes up and then turns back, if you look at a map, there's no road that goes to these two lots back in there that are just off and to the left of the edge of this map. They're on the other side of what's, I think, a 40-foot unopened right-of-way. They're on the other side of that and just below Bethesda. See if I can show you an aerial and kind of indicate where they are. It would be these houses right here where it says R2EO. And if you look at it, you know, on a tax map, it looks like that's a legal way that they would have a right of access to their property. It's never been used. If you look back at it in the title history, there have been lawsuits between neighbors out there that the county never opened it. They had to get an alternate route in there, and that alternate route is this crosshatched area that runs along the southwest border of Mr. Bruce's property. And that's what's been used for at least, you know, 45 years. And the parties had an easement agreement go back to 1978. It just didn't have a map with it. And it had a somewhat vague legal description, but this is where it's existed. So we were able to get the parties, Mr. Wheelis, who owns property just to the south, and the Christensens to do a written easement agreement, and we've attached this plat. So they now have, and the county can see, a easement that provides them a legal right of access back to their property. And so the county doesn't need to maintain or continue to keep the 50-foot unopened right of way as a legal access, although it's never served as a legal access. You can't get down it. Too many big trees.
Okay, so this current easement, this proposed 15-foot access easement, correct?
It's not proposed anymore, but it's signed and recorded, okay. And it's in place.
So that easement, It appears as if it crossed through your property.
No, it runs up to the 15 feet begins at the property line and runs away from the property.
Okay. So even still in that, have you guys had conversation with the 15 feet being enough for emergency access in the event that there is?
Oh, good question.
It's been that particular width for the last 45 years. I mean, that's what they've used.
I follow you, but in the last 45 years, there's a possibility that there was no emergency events that occurred on that property. So how do we know whether or not we have appropriate access to those two parcels back there?
Oh, there's frequent use by Chatham Fire. I'm sorry, Glenbrook again. There's frequent use of Chatham Fire that drives fire trucks up and down that road. So I'm not sure.
Wow.
What other, you know, there's a fire hydrant in the back. They have access back there. They patrol our area on a regular basis. Out in that area, a lot of people burn things. They're up and down. They've stopped me from burning things. They're monitoring the burning over at where the end market's going at the current time. But they are constantly up and down, and apparently there's somewhere to turn around down there because they come up and down my road. I see them doing it all the time. So, I mean, that's just something that happens. It can be verified through Go Up Chatham Fire, I'm sure.
Mr. Stevens, as a former fire chief, we've been back there before to the Christensen home, and there's enough turnaround in that roadway. My question was about the 15-foot recorded easement now. What is the minimum required easement width to any subject property for the county, in the county, per code?
It is the least per emergency services, which according to subdivision regulations is 20 feet.
Okay.
With an 18-foot surface for driving.
Okay, that's what I thought. And when this question is for the petitioner, and the county has seen this 15-foot and has approved it.
I didn't tell you the county.
No, I'm asking a question.
No, they have not approved it yet. Their objection was they didn't see a legal right of access.
In order to get rid of that other unopened right of way.
That's right.
Okay.
More questions?
I can also verify that in my 58 years, that right of way has never been opened. So,
Ms. Bowles.
And I think the question now, where my confusion is coming is now, it's because the language you used was satisfy county. And so that, to me, says that condition went away. But it still needs approval.
Their concern was that they didn't have a legal right of access. That was what they expressed. They never expressed that they needed a minimum for safety purposes. They said, we don't see that they have a right of access back there any other way than this road. And we still got to go through the process with the county to do that. So it's not a done deal, but they've indicated that satisfies the concern that engineering had.
Go ahead.
Mr. Dykes, my concern is the last time that we heard this, I believe we continued it because we didn't have that unopened right of way deeded over yet. And we're still here. You're still kind of saying that the county's working on it and we're going to get there, but we're not there yet. So my concern, number one, is that we're still putting the cart before the horse. And my second concern, as far as the frontage on, on Ferguson, you're saying that there doesn't need to be a privacy fence there, but by your own photo here, you can see into that lot and see in the background, landscaping equipment. So I think at the very least, maybe not on the other sides, but on the Ferguson frontage, there needs to be a privacy fence there.
I'm sorry to interject, but that's where I was exactly going earlier. Maybe not a privacy fence, but a heavily vegetated buffer. 15 foot, because there's plenty of room for a buffer.
I think both would be in order because these pictures were taken clearly probably in the winter months and you can see right through. So vegetative buffer isn't a buffer in the winter months.
So Mr. Coles, if I may respond. My recollection was it was continued because the county had come up with some conditions and we kind of attempted to talk through them and y'all said, get the conditions worked out and come back.
But the conditions aren't worked out at this point in time.
Well, no, the county has proposed conditions and those were there.
The MPC has proposed conditions?
MPC staff has proposed conditions. We were in agreement with all but number four in what they have proposed. They're essentially what we had proposed to them. We said, we understand your concerns. Here is our suggested language. And number four has been the one that has been problematic. They're wanting a privacy fence. And going back to the privacy fence, what I'm trying to explain, I understand that you can see in there from Ferguson, but I think what we're trying to say is that you're seeing over the top of the fence because the fence.
No, sir. We're looking through that chain link fence in that photo.
I see.
Well, I think in certain places, as it goes down Ferguson, that you can see over the top. So we're proposing to have a vegetative buffer that would have the 85% opacity. That's what we're proposing to conceal it. So we understand the county's concern about that, and it will address it with landscape.
All right. Do I have other questions? I have some questions myself. Go ahead, Mr. Stevens.
I wanted to touch back on this 15-foot easement, and this may be immaterial, but I'm just curious as to, like, is that a paved surface, or who will be maintaining it? Because you said that is not county, correct? Or
it's not. So it's a private easement,
correct?
Like many that are out there, the person who holds the easement, the party that benefits by it, is responsible for maintaining that easement, for keeping it up, keeping it in good repair. Okay. It does not place any burden on the county to maintain that.
I'm so sorry. Mr. Stevens, I'd just like to make a note for the record. Actually, so this is an existing easement. It may be 15 feet. Currently, that is substandard, and I'd like to kind of revise a previous statement. The current minimum width for a new subdivision is a 30-foot easement with 18-foot drivable surface. It is our understanding that emergency services will accept 20 feet, but for any new subdivision, the minimum for private vehicular access easement would be 30 feet.
Okay, so, and this would currently serve, well, this would serve as the emergency access as well at this point.
It would be the, I think, the only access.
The only access. So if it's the only access and it's currently substandard, I'm just trying to figure out where we're going to make sure we get it standard so that those property owners behind this property still have the entitlement to emergency services as everybody else.
Well, the easement wasn't required as part of this. So we're trying to get the county to say that what they have is surplus. They've got a legal right of access.
Closing the road wasn't part of this either.
The road isn't – I mean, the road isn't
– You're trying to take the right-of-way back.
Those are two – well, yeah, that's something that we're not asking this board to do. That's something we'll have to take up with the county. Let me frame it this way. When the property was sold off and subdivided, and the Christensens that lived back there, their predecessor and title got the property, back in 1978, they had an easement agreement. And the easement agreement was because they didn't have access through this unopened
highway,
Lehigh. So they did an easement agreement, and the parties back then had a 15-foot easement agreement. It's been in there for, 35 years now? So they had that easement agreement back in 78. What they didn't have was a good description of it. So you couldn't look at a plat and say, oh, this is where it is. You had a legal description, and it was kind of fuzzy about where it is. So what we had was the 15-foot survey. We had – it was really an amended agreement. Say, we've already got one, but here's where it's located. Here's a plat that shows where it is. And if you look at the plat, part of the road went outside the bounds of it. So they had to grant some temporary easements to let them use what they're using, but continue to maintain a right to the 15-foot easement straight along that property line. So that's what we did. This is not a new subdivision that we're trying to get approved with the new standards. It's something that has been out there for decades now.
Thank you.
One more question.
Go ahead.
The Maupin general development plan was presented by the petitioner, correct?
It was attached to the petition as the plan for the PRA.
Correct. By you and the people
correct.
You represent.
Right.
Okay. So the corner that is most visible, if you will, through the fence is actually where the storm water will apparently be cleared out for a retention pond there. I personally don't want to see someone have to move a fence. It's very costly. And how high did you say the fence was?
The current fence is 7 feet.
And question for staff, what is the current height requirement or restriction or on a frontage of the property along the roadway?
So this is a residentially zoned parcel.
Yeah.
The maximum fence height is 6 feet.
6 feet. Okay.
Okay. All right. I have some questions for you. When you negotiate with the county, are you going to pay for the right-of-way that they own?
Well, the county has a process by which they evaluate unopened roads. They've got to have engineering make a determination whether or not it's surplus property. Once it's surplus property, there's a procedure in which the county, and it usually, I believe, requires a vote by the commission. Then it has to be purchased at fair market value, so the petition will have to get an appraisal. And when the appraisal comes back, you'll have to pay the fair market value for the unopened road.
Okay. The 15 feet right of way that you are proposing to give to that you are negotiating with the property owners is not improved the entire length of that right of way, that easement.
Okay.
Correct?
Well, first of all, the easement's not on our property. The easement is on the adjoining property.
Oh,
it doesn't. Yeah, it's not on Mr. Brisk's property. It's always been on the adjoining property. Okay.
So the easement that's shown in the plat has nothing to do with your.
I'm simply showing you that because we believe we can close the unopened road, that we've satisfied the county's concern about access for the.
But the county has not weighed in on this.
I've spoken to the county attorney. They said, okay, we'll move forward now with the, ultimately, I believe the county commission has to vote on it. So, but they'll move forward now because there's an alternate means of access for those, that one property owner back there.
A 15 foot right of, or a 15 foot easement.
15 foot easement, which they've had for 45 years.
That is not on y'all's property.
It is not on our property.
Has the county accepted that as acceptable? Have they declared?
No. So they could come back and say we still want something bigger. The easement was not from Mr. Brooks.
Right.
Well, and maybe I've kind of muddied the waters. My purpose in bringing that up is to show that we believe we can close the unopened right of way, that we can work things out with the county, that we will be able to purchase it from them, and we'll be able to recombine those lots. And rather than come back at a later date or certainly have a year moratorium on coming back to rezone the 10 or was it 10,001 Bethesda tract, the smaller triangle that that staff has recommended denial, that we would request that if you're going to deny it, instead approve it conditioned on the closure of the road. So if we could close the road, we would have the zoning, the whole tract would be zoned RA. If we don't get the zoning or we don't get the road closed, it remains its current R2.
Chair.
I mean,
go ahead, Mr. Stevens.
I think some of the hang up is we have to look at this holistically, and holistically, knowing that the only access that we are just clarified is not on your property is 15 feet, which is also substandard. Also, considering that the just lost my train of thought. It'll come back to me.
I think that we have clouded the water quite a bit for me. Clouded the water for me. The exchange of property with the county of closing easements, they do that almost at every meeting, and they sell at fair market value. And they've got an agreement. You said you had a written agreement with Mr. Christensen.
Mr. Wheelis owns the property directly south, and the easement's on his property.
Correct.
And so he already had an easement that was burdening his property. We simply clarified it so we could attach a plat so everybody would know this is when we say we got a 15-foot, this is where it is.
But have you spoken to Mr. Christensen about this?
Mr. Christensen and his wife both signed the easement agreement.
That's what I was – okay. So really the 15-foot easement – has nothing, in my opinion, has nothing to do with this petition. The unopened easement right away has nothing to do with this petition because it is, that's something that they will take up with county commission and the county attorney.
Now, to a certain extent, I disagree with you because that privacy fence is on the right of way right now. No. Or on the property line.
It's on the property line, not on the right of way.
We suggested that it be moved back 15 feet off the property line, and if
right, but and that's why I was stating along Ferguson is this has been talked about a lot, and no one would ever have known it was back there if they had put a either a privacy fence or a buffer. So and that's honestly the complaints that we've heard here and I've heard. So what happens on the back of the property along that coming in 15 foot all the way around, I think it takes away from the use or usability of the person's property, especially if they are in the works of getting that right away or obtaining that. And that little tiny piece in the back, and could you scroll back to the map part?
We're in discussion. Why don't we go ahead and listen to what public has to say?
Okay.
Let's stay strictly on.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak on this item? No one online? All right.
I have a question of staff. This 15-foot easement, which is now substandard, is grandfathered in, correct?
That's correct.
You're talking about the 15-foot trail that exists today, not this recorded, if this has been recorded. Correct. You're talking about the trail that goes back there now.
I'm actually not able to see the exhibit that you're looking at, but it sounds like you're looking at a plat. A plat is not subject here. So in essence, what we're looking at would be something that's already been platted. Whatever was existing at the time, if this is an older plat, nothing has been put forth that would require our evaluation of a new plat. So it would be existing, and it would be regarding as approved and nonconforming, in essence, grandfathered.
Which is where I think when he gets to the county for the right-of-way exchange and purchase, and I think that, personally, I think that's where the county engineering is going to get involved and say it's the minimum is 30 or 20, you know, or maybe they'll let them get by with 20. But I don't think that's something that...
But it certainly affects our decision on 10,001. Go ahead.
If I may, as far as grandfathering in goes, I think I'm trying to get clarification on what that means, because it doesn't really mean much if the county is going to require a wider easement. Because if that doesn't satisfy the county, it's not grandfathered in. Because and with respect to Mr. Noah, while we're not talking about the unopened right-of-way for this specific one, we are, because we are conditioning the future based on changes to that unopened right-of-way. So, again, I still believe we are putting the cart before the horse if we're going to have conditions in this particular petition that are speculating on what future actions the county may take. And if the county commission does this at every meeting, let them do this at the next meeting and then bring this back to us where we have answers.
I think that continuance is probably a good idea. We didn't solve all of the questions in the last continuance.
Would that be, because in staff's recommendations, it's two different parcels for, so would that be for both, or that would be for the 10,001?
I think it would be for both, because the staff's recommendation would change potentially based off of what the county commission determines. That denial for the second part may become a recommendation for approval after what the county says.
Staff's recommendation at present is contingent upon only what's the current existing configuration. Once a plat is approved, access is a requirement. So the access that exists would have been for the use of the parcels in the configuration proposed at the time of approval. This is absolutely something that is kind of putting the cart before the horse, because in essence you are truncating access that was proposed to be for future uses. They weren't there yet, but at some point we said if we're going to create these parcels, we're going to give them access via this means. And so approval in the way recommended would give the petitioner the opportunity to go ahead and proceed as he's currently situated, and at some point in the future to come back and readdress that, I can say that in conversations with Chatham Engineering, there has been conversation about vacating the right-of-way. It has not been successful. It is not at all my understanding, just based on even recent conversations with them. Whatever conversation may be having at a higher level, it has not yet trickled down. So staff does still absolutely recommend denial of the use across the right-of-way, as we understand that this conversation about closing and vacating that right-of-way has not been successful.
So I guess the applicant really has to choose whether he wants to allow us to move forward with this application or come back later, and after he's clarified everything and resolved all of the issues with the county, to get that 10,001.
And let me see if I can kind of rephrase this. What we're asking is that it be the 90s.
Conditionally approved. No, understood.
Yeah, but the 10,001.
Yes.
Just be conditionally approved if we can close it. And if we don't close it, it just remains its current one. And nothing ever changes. If it is combined, then we don't have to come back here and do this over again. It would automatically have the zone.
All right, thank you.
May I just ask why this hasn't already gone before the county commission?
Well, these are two different tracks that they're on. And so we've been working with the county prior to the enforcement action to try to deal with the right-of-way. And like I said, the issue with the right-of-way had been access for Christensen. So we've been able to fix that. But I'm not sure how long that may take to get through the county's vote and then get an appraisal and get it paid for. That may take a couple of months or several months to go through that process.
If I may, pardon me for 1 second. I just received a call from the county manager, and he is requesting that this get continued for 30 days so that they can work out this issue. I'm just giving you feedback from him. The second thing that you all have to remember and keep in mind, right now, this has a residential zoning. So the access based on that residential zoning, that's what's grandfathered in. When you start changing the zoning, which is making it commercial, then things are supposed to be in compliance once that zoning changes. So that's the difference. You don't get grandfathered in for an old use when you're introducing a new use that's more intense. That's the rules. So that's one of the things that I think that, and it's up to you and your client, but I'm just telling you, just got a phone call from the county manager. I think it may be in your best interest to work with them to see what they can do to try to figure out how to manage and deal with this. But I wanted to make sure that I share that information with the commission and let you know what their thoughts are.
Thank you. Mr. Noah?
I would agree with the continuance. And I think that I would, if it were myself, I'd try to handle all of those other issues first, mm-hmm. and then just come in here and say, rezone the whole, it'll be one piece. It won't be Bethesda Road, Lehigh, unopened road, 10,001 and 9965. It will be one piece, do it all in one sweep. And then the items like the fencing and all that, just take care of that at one time. And I think it would be cleaner, mm-hmm. and it would be, for me, an easier decision.
And we're fine with that.
I'm sorry?
We're fine with that.
Are you requesting a continuance?
Yes, we would request a 30-day continuance.
Cole's motion to continue this until our next regular MPC meeting, which is?
It would be the second one because our next one is not in 30 days. It's shorter than 30 days.
I'm sorry. What's the date?
But then it will be March.
March 19th.
March 19th.
Continue to March 19th.
But that would give just a little bit more than 30 days because
my motion is to continue this to the March 19th NBC meeting.
No, a second.
All right. I don't think we need. I think a voice vote will work for that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Let me see. All right.
Absolutely.
Our next item is number six, special use zone, requesting a bar, a lounge use within TC1 zoning district 2501 Bull Street.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Edward Marr, Director of Development Services again. This is a request to establish a bar or lounge as a special use at 2501 Bull Street. The subject parcel is located within the Starland area. You can see here that it is just north of Victory, located next to Bull Street. This is the future land use map, and so a continued commercial use is consistent with the current future land use designation here at this parcel. Just to give you some context, this is within a historic district. There are a couple of contributing historic structures that are close by at 9 and 15 West 41st Street, which is a multi-tenant residential building, and there's a commercial structure that's just to the north at 2425 Bull Street. Also, you can see the subject parcel on the right-hand side in this 1955 Sanborn map. The subject parcel contained two residences up until about that time. The current construction is a building that, according to tax assessor records, was built in the 1960s, so it is not contributing. Just to offer you a definition here of a bar tavern use based on the zoning ordinance, it says an establishment that's devoted primarily to the dispensing of alcoholic beverages for consumption on the premises. While such use may also provide food sales, more than 50% of its annual gross food and beverage sales income is derived from the sales of alcoholic beverages. The use may include entertainment, but it does not include nightclub. In the pre-meeting, we established that entertainment kind of seemed to be the central focus around a nightclub use. And I can say that based on conversations with the petitioner, the intent is to have something that more so resembles a bar or a restaurant use. One note, just for the record, the existing structure on the parcel is approximately 2,869 square feet. Any exterior expansion will likely cause the use to exceed 3,000 square feet, which is a threshold at which a non-residential use has to provide off-street parking within the streetcar and Victorian parking reduction area. And so right now, this structure, as it is just below that threshold. Any expansion would require that they provide off-street parking for that in excess of 3,000 square feet at a rate of one space per 75 square feet, or restaurant use requires one for each 100 square feet of use. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record for those things I didn't speak to. Nonetheless, staff does recommend approval of the requested use, and with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Is the applicant here? Come forward, please. And if you'd please give us your names.
I'm Tess Lana.
Toriana Bird.
Chelsea Williams.
All right.
Ruth Threet.
Do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yes, I'd like to start out by saying that a little background on Say Hey. Say Hey has been a bar and lounge in the area for over 70 years. It's a family bar and lounge that welcomes all of the surrounding family. What we're doing, what we're trying to do, is expand on another building for the elderly in the community that's the walking in the neighborhood that will be wanting to hang out with their peers and things of that nature.
Again, I'm Chelsea Williams. We have built a very good rapport with Starland as well as the community and the residents across the street. Everyone has backed us. We do have letters from two different from Starland and as well as the community leader for approving our expansion. We are trying to continue to, like Tess said, give that family-oriented feel to the community. We have highly trained our staff as well as our security to make sure everyone is safe in every aspect of the time of the day that we're open. We do have our outside of just, of course, people, open to animals as well, because Starland is very big on, you know, the dogs and everyone walking around. But we just want to extend the fact that we are here to build the community and not tear the community down.
All right. Anything else? Okay. Questions from commissioners? Mr. Notrika?
No, I don't have any
questions. All right. I wanted to kind of go back to what Mr. Maher was saying about the parking and the issues with parking. Are y'all combining the use of Say Hey and this building as well?
Oh, no, ma'am.
No, it's separate.
Separate.
Two separate bars.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. Are there any citizens who would like to speak on this? Did you fill out a card? Okay. Hold on just a second. Sally, do you have a card? Okay, thank you. All right, go ahead.
Valerian Sotil. Good afternoon. My name is Valerian Sotil, and I have been a property owner in the historic Starland Design District for 24 years now and counting. I have grown up in this district and is near and dear to my heart. Point one, I want to be clear, I am pro-development. Historic Starland is a mixed-use neighborhood. It is residential and commercial. It is imperative that we maintain the balance of both of these residential and commercial uses. Balance, balance, balance. Point two, as a neighborhood, we have families with young children living and growing up in the immediate area to permit a club, tavern, lounge, or however you want to call it, to double its size and sell alcohol past 10 p.m. is irresponsible and potentially dangerous for neighborhood residents and the public alike. I speak as a property owner to not permit alcohol sales past the hour of 10 p.m. on any given day. Not past 10 p.m., 10 p.m., 10 p.m. Point three and final point, parking. How has parking been resolved? Currently, the Say Hey attendees find very creative parking spots all throughout our residential neighborhoods. In many events, because of the quantity of people, their parking decisions makes it nearly impossible to park or even sometimes access streets. My concern is that as they attempt to expand and connect with the existing use, this should activate parking requirements and only exacerbate this parking issue. Conclusion. Board, please consider these issues as if a club, tavern, lounge, etc., attempted to sizably expand its operations within 300 feet of your primary residence. Sincerely, thank you for your deep discernment in these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the resident?
I had a question for staff.
All right.
To the member of the public that spoke, behind their idea, well, the information presented regarding the alcohol, do we have any other facility or establishment that sells alcohol in that area beyond 10 o'clock?
Absolutely. So Two Tides Brewing, which was just here recently, mm-hmm. They close at midnight on okay. Friday and Saturday. The Wormhole, I'm seeing here, they would be comparable neighborhood pub and music venue. They close at 2:30 a.m. every night.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify because I would hate to not afford the same rights and privileges to another business owner that several other already have. My personal opinion is just not right. It's just not ethical. I understand the concern, and I could understand if there was an absolute saturation of said alcohol sales, but to cut off one business's opportunity to sell alcohol and still afford the surrounding businesses to sell alcohol until later hours is just unethical, in my personal opinion. I do have some concerns with the parking, but I think we can potentially work through those.
I agree, and I want to echo that because we also just approved the Jinx, which is just around the corner. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be an event venue that will be having live music, et cetera, till later hours in the evening.
And I have a question for staff. So the expansion of the business is not, there's a new building, but it's not an additional physical footprint that we're, it's not that you're not getting another building.
That's correct. So the use is proposed within an existing building, and I think there is some need to kind of clarify the implications of putting together what are two 2,800-square-foot buildings. Sehe, as it is currently existing, is just under the threshold. This new building, as it exists, is also independently just under the threshold. In order to put those two together, you would need to meet the off-street parking requirement for everything in excess of 3,000 square feet for the combined square footage of the two. So,
just a question, not necessarily related to this, but is because that would probably also require a new liquor license. So this is going to have to go before the city council as well to determine appropriateness and opening and closing times.
That is correct.
Mr. Morrow, I also want to just circle back around on the parking because I understand the challenge there, and I understand businesses are trying to grow, and I don't ever want to impede upon that within reason. However, I do want to be mindful and look at the area holistically and be considerate of that with the decision that we're making and considering that we do and we have just recently approved the Jinx, like Mr. Coles has raised that concern. I really wanted to make sure that we are good on this business in particular for parking based off of, I mean, what the ordinance requires. So we are currently all as well.
Right. As long as there is no expansion of the footprint, either in the form of a building expansion or a patio, something of that nature. As it exists, it is within ordinance requirements to begin the use as requested.
Yeah, and I think by ordinance and by right, then we, you know, we should move accordingly. But I do think we need to look beyond that and have some further conversations with the necessary bodies regarding the lack of parking and the challenges of trying to arrive at appropriate parking for several businesses that have high demand.
Chair, I have a question. The staff, did we receive copies of those letters from the neighborhood that they referenced?
There were no copies of letters that I did receive, but I was present at the meeting the night that the petitioners. Oh, here we go. The petitioners were present for a regular meeting of the Thomas Square Neighborhood Association.
They did.
They gave, in essence, the same spiel that you heard here today. There was no negative sentiment that was voiced at that meeting.
Sentiment voiced there.
Well, I'm thankful that he went there first. Because normally we're asking them to go back, so that being proactive. Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions? Any discussion?
Sorry, Madam Chair, I do have a quick question. Was anything resembling a plat for the proposed use provided? Or any way that petitioner can describe what they're going to do?
So to answer your question on the record, no, there was not a site plan. There was not a plat, again, because no new construction was proposed. At the point that there are changes that would trigger a site plan review, that's when we would expect one. However, if you would like to see, this board definitely has the authority to request that a floor plan be provided. If no exterior improvements are anticipated, the need for a site plan is probably not there.
Thank you.
Sure.
I have a question. So that means there's no exterior patio, porch, covered area for outside entertaining?
Currently, there is not.
And that would not be allowed because at that point it exceeds the expansion?
So it would be allowed. At that point, the petitioner would be required to submit a site plan to show how they were going to expand the building and how they would meet off-street parking and all other requirements. So it would actually trigger a review by the city's engineering and other reviewing departments at that point.
And in that event, the number of required parking spaces would be?
It would be one space for each 75 square feet of the expansion in excess of 3,000 square feet of area.
Mm. So even if they combined, they'd need one space in excess of the 3,000 square feet for the combined structure.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, has anyone looked at the, well, I guess it's really old business, say hey to see whether the expansion outside has increased that footprint?
So that particular site is not within the scope of this petition. Yeah.
Understood. Anything else?
This is a rather broad question of petitioners. Do any of you live in this neighborhood?
No, ma'am. None of us do live in a particular neighborhood of Fourth Street. No, ma'am.
Thank you.
I do.
She does. And apparently,
I feel her pain.
And apparently, she was at the meeting.
Nothing. Okay. All right.
Coles, make motion to approve the staff's recommendation to Stevens Bar Tavern.
Stevens, second.
All right. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
And I do say yes. Next step is the City Hall.
Thank you so much.
Sorry. All right, where are we? We're on number. All right, now we have a map amendment request to rezone from R313 to PBC, 5792 Ogeechee Road.
All right, Madam Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow. This is a petition to rezone or make a map amendment from the current zoning designation of R3-13, which is a multifamily residential zoning district having a density of 13 dwelling units per acre, to a planned community business designation, which is a community business designation that would require MPC or at extreme levels commission review in order to change the use on a particular site. At this juncture, we're requesting MPC level review for any changes consistent with the by right uses within the community business zoning district. To give everyone some context, you can see here that we're located out off of Ogeechee Road. This is in between, midway between Berwick and Little Neck Road. You can see the site itself is located here, outlined in red, adjoining several multifamily developments. Another one that you'll see that has been approved through zoning is going to join this development right here. And the proposed use is a mini storage warehouse. Earlier, you saw a second iteration site plan that I do apologize about that, but it is just a reflection of the fact that this is actually the third site plan that we have received from the petitioner, as they've been actively working with staff, taking our comments and those of Chatham Engineering to try and offer a better product. And so we can see here, one particular point that I'd like to make is that a previous site plan, as you saw, had this particular opening going into the proposed structure. This is the building, the storage building that would sit on the site in the future. The access now, you can see that it takes advantage of this this cut between the two. You can turn in and you are able to traverse and then come out at this right-in, right-out point only. Nonetheless, you can see that this is yet another updated site plan, even from that you saw earlier. The one variance from the requirements of this particular use in this zoning district that I would like to point out is that it does require a masonry fence or a wall of some sort to be constructed around the perimeter of the use. In this case, we are hoping that the petitioner would provide a product that is aesthetically pleasing such that that wall would not necessarily be required, as the zoning ordinance from the county kind of anticipates the configuration of these uses that previously it would have been ideal to have some sort of fence or barrier that was blocking the doors that would normally be visible. So this is the GDP that is put forth, and it is staff's recommendation that the rezoning be approved based on this particular site plan, which of course this board has the authority to approve in any and all variances. Again, the only variance from standard development requirements being that wall. This is not necessarily a commitment on the part of the petitioner, but it is a concept that was proffered from them for a prior project of a similar nature that they did elsewhere, I believe in Fayetteville, Georgia, or another city named Fayetteville. And so again, it is staff's contention that the proposed development on the site would be more or less consistent with the aesthetics that we're seeing here, both with regard to site design and the facade of the proposed structure. With that, I would like to enter the staff report into the record, and I'd like to add one particular note here. Just this is a site plan that was approved adjoining this site back in 2021 for a map amendment, so that you can see actually at that time, this parcel was indicated as BC zoning. When we go back and we look through those records, I do believe that it was likely not intended to be captured in that, but for some reason, a subdivision was not submitted at that time to actually make this distinction between the BC zoning and what ultimately is to become townhomes. And so this particular parcel is currently indicated as R313, the multifamily designation. And so that's why it's here before you today. But so that you can get some impression of how future residences will adjoin the use that is being requested for your approval today. With that, I am happy to answer any questions, as staff does recommend approval.
Next is the petitioner here.
Yes, ma'am, Madam Chair. For the record, Josh Yellen here today on behalf of Doran Development. We have with us Chris Keenan from the development team. He's the Senior Vice President of Development for Doran. I do apologize. We had John Giordano from Thomas & Hutton, but because the meeting was running a little longer, he had to run out to a prior commitment. So I guess I will pretend to be the engineer as well and do my best to answer any questions you have about it. But we do thank Mr. Morrow and MPC staff for their work on this petition. As has been mentioned, we're on third iteration that's probably been seen by MPC staff, but more so that's been done internally in order to make sure that this project and this product type is a good fit for the area. We know the concerns regarding Ogeechee. We know the concerns regarding traffic. In my estimation, this is probably the lowest impact use that you could potentially put on the site. With the zoning being right or wrong about it being R313, that's a multifamily use that would permit up to 26 multifamily units on the site right now by right. 26 multifamily units generate far more traffic than a modern self-story mini warehouse facility. If the site were to be BC, the business commercial, and you put in a retail center here or any sort of other commercial use, all of those uses generate higher traffic than self-storage mini warehouse. The gas station across the street from us generates self-storage mini warehouse. Unlike many of the other sites that you see up and down Highway 17 on Ogeechee, we have access. We're not proposing a new curb cut. That access is in place. We know that there might be changes anticipated in the future, but there is currently the access as it stands that was anticipated when this entire property in this vicinity was redeveloped. And I know I've been here before, standing before you for other sites that did not have access as adequate as this. So we think that based upon this location, based upon the uses in the vicinity, that this is probably the most appropriate use that could go in here, other than somehow Chatham County and this board saying that this site cannot be developed. It's a planned BC. The GDP has been submitted to Nick Milionis and County Engineering. They, so far, are fully signed off on this plan. We are a lot farther along than many other applicants simply by virtue of this being a planned BC district. So this developer and the engineering team have done a lot of the groundwork in advance. And so, like Mr. Warrell mentioned, staff is recommending approval for this site, and we would respectfully request that you approve of the same, but are also, we're here to answer any questions that you may have. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Chair.
Mr. No.
I have one question.
Sorry, turned it off.
Is this a one-story, three-story?
It's a three-story product.
Okay. And I'm just trying to compare. They wouldn't be the owners of the one at 204 and 17. Or would the same petitioner be the owners of the one between Little Neck and 204 on Highway 17?
No.
Okay. Well, if you're familiar with that, there is no wall that is spoken of. There is a black painted fence that has some type of growth on it, some kind of jasmine or something growing on it. But it does, I mean, if you're comparing, if we're talking about removing the wall, which I'm definitely for that, I would much rather see a black fence with some type of vegetation on it. And if staff could pull that up and Google map it and show everyone to give them an example of, instead of a block wall.
Right.
When I think of a block wall, I think of Islands Expressway just before the bluff on the left behind the fire station. You got this long wall.
And
I know. And it's a long yellow wall.
And it
looks good when it's first put up and it's painted.
Correct.
And then they don't paint it. But anyway.
And I do think that part of the concern, as we've had this conversation before, is that the county ordinance is roughly 30 to 40 years old. I don't think that this standard has been updated in recent years, particularly in light of some of the new designs for these facilities. But also as it relates to the traffic concerns, I personally would not be in favor of putting up a fence surrounding the property.
Yes.
That's only going to block people's views of oncoming traffic. And so I agree that I am not in favor of putting up a fence in our undisturbed area that could cause traffic effects. I'm not sure if I can zoom in on this. Oh, you were looking at the other site. Sorry.
You know, I drive by here every day.
I think it's very comparable to size and mass and height.
Right here. There we go.
That doesn't have any growth on it.
Yeah, it does. Well, look for the,
not in that picture.
But it has. Anyway, that was the idea. I was set of a block wall.
Not particularly attractive either.
Yeah.
So I just had a question. I know, Mr. Murray, you mentioned that we're hoping for the building to look attractive, but is there anything that requires it to look like the example that was shown?
I think that's an appropriate question for the board to ask the petitioner.
Petitioner, is there anything that's going to, Mr. Yellen, is there anything that's going to guarantee us that we're going to get a nice-looking product?
I'm going to pull up Mr. Keenan from the development team so we can talk about the product types that they actually do develop around the area.
Hi there. My name's Chris Keenan. I'm Senior Vice President of Doran Development, and pleasure to be here. Happy to answer any questions you have. The design that we have is going to be in accordance with the master plan development, who is also the seller and owner of the land. And it will be along the same lines as the one shown here on Little Neck, as well as the example in Fayetteville.
But with better landscaping?
Yeah, we have, we like to say that we have pride of ownership. So we're by conscious effort, we're a builder and investor. So we don't build to sell, we build to hold. So we have a higher quality of construction that we typically hold ourselves to, which would include landscaping.
Anything else? Go ahead, Miss.
Just a question. Why don't we have a copy of that master plan?
I don't think we're required to have a copy of the master plan. Anything else?
A question for the Josh. You did say that Mr. Engineer. You said that Chatham County Engineering had a copy of all of that.
Correct.
And so you have that, the picture, whatever.
These items were all submitted as part of the applicant's package.
So what's in here is what they have.
Yes.
There's nothing else. Extra. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Is there anyone in the public who'd like to speak on this item? Nobody online?
Oh, there's Mr. John, who's the engineer.
Oh, John Giordano?
Yeah.
He's multitasking, but not sure we need him. And he focused on driving. So
tell him his engineer did fine.
Josh, you did a great job as an engineer. You got a backup career.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll entertain a motion.
We do have another person too. Name is Karen. I'm going to unmute her.
Hi, my name is Karen Blands. I live across the street from this property, across 17. Mm-hmm. I would just like to say I would love to see a fence, maybe a tall fence. There is just so much light coming now from the gas station across the street onto my property. It's just, you know, we've had to put up blinds and shutters, but any kind of light pollution coming from that side of the street is just really distracting. So I am in favor of a fence and hopefully a tall fence.
Question for the person on the phone.
Go ahead.
As long as light pollution is addressed, would that be appropriate?
Yes. I mean, as long as the light is addressed, that would be great.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
If that's the case, it would be my recommendation that you basically make a condition that they submit a lighting plan that is reviewed to ensure that, where the light is shown. And that would ensure that she wouldn't experience any light pollution or any other adverse effect.
Lighting plan for staff approval.
Mm-hmm. And there's the entrance, exit, there's nothing on Pagichi Road, correct?
Correct.
Correct, engineer? So there would be really no need for a lot of lighting on that side of the building.
All right. I'll entertain a motion.
Calls make the motion that we approve the staff's recommendation for approval with the condition that a lighting plan be submitted for staff approval.
No, a second.
All right. Any discussion? Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Approve.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion approved. All right.
All right, Madam Chair, if I could just make a note for the record. What you're seeing on the screen are the development standards for use 107B, which is a self-storage mini warehouse in the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance. Per note E here, all lights shall be shielded to direct light onto uses established and away from adjacent property.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right, our next item is 10, I believe. Recombination subdivision Meldrum lot 515 West 31st Street.
Okay, my apologies. I'm trying to get rid of the things that we don't need. This is another petition that has come before this board previously, and it was requested to be continued in order to permit the petitioner some time to consult with the tax assessor's office. At our last meeting, the petitioner, in essence, made the claim that he wished to administratively combine these lots for the purpose of, in essence, getting fewer tax bills. Since that time, staff has come to the understanding, based on working with a representative, Mr. Paul Kemp, from the tax assessor's office, that their administrative recombination purpose is, their administrative recombination process is not for this purpose. They are able to, in essence, reestablish lots that have been previously approved, but based on our conclusion, the conclusion of our conversations with them, it's our understanding that administratively recombining for a new configuration such as that was proposed in this recombination, that is not something that they would be able to assist the petitioner with. And so for that purpose, this is actually an application that is typically approved at staff level. This is a recombination plat of several lots into one. And so while staff generally has, it's within staff's purview to approve such a request, I felt it appropriate to send this to the board for your determination, being that MPC has, in essence, authority or jurisdiction over subdivisions. So just for finality, in essence, I wanted to present the facts to the board and allow you all to make a determination. And so what you see here, this is the subject parcel, the subject parcels. Right here at the end of my cursor, you can see commercial structures. These are two of the parcels that are, it's this one right here. You can see this commercial structure right here. And the recombination would encompass these residences that are right here along 32nd Street, as well as those that are coming over to 31st Street. So this is a request, in essence, to combine all of these parcels that contain some vacant, some commercial structure, some residences, right? Just to give you some context, again, we are in Kyler Brownville near the intersection of MLK and West Anderson. And this is the proposed recombination plat that was submitted. You can see that long structure right here. That's the commercial structure. And the petitioner wants to combine all of these. I went a little bit far, but there's a residence here. And so all of these containing dissimilar uses and zonings were requested to be recombined into one PIN. And the issue with that, in essence, is that it is unlikely that the petitioner is going to present a plan for future development of this proposed parcel that would meet all of the development standards for each of the unique zoning districts that are present on the parcel. And so while conceptually you could combine these, practically it is nearly impracticable to come up with a petition that would actually meet all of the requirements. And on that basis, staff does recommend denial of this as proposed. Now, what I can say is that in looking at the future land use map for these parcels, they are designated for traditional commercial use. And so it is conceivable that at some point in the future, we would see commercial use here. But again, without seeing that plan, which it was requested from the petitioner, it was not provided. Staff is not comfortable recommending approval of this. At such time, the petitioner has developed a future development proposal. He or she is welcome to bring it back to this board to request rezoning consistent with the future land use map. And so with that, staff does recommend denial of this requested recombination.
All right, thank you. Is the petitioner here? No? We can either deny it or continue it. Is there anyone here for the public comment? Mr. Hunsrucker.
I think it's two. Let me look.
Hello, my name is Jim Hunsrucker. I work with the Forsyth Park Community Alliance and also within the Oglethorpe Planning Coalition. I'm not representing either one at this time, but Kyler Brownsville is also being considered for the Hotel No expansion. The city has proposed something. And Kyler Brownsville, I don't know if they've been, I know that they do not want hotels based on previous meetings. I don't represent them, but I think they should have a voice in this matter at the same time too, because hotels are being, boutique hotels are being proposed for these three districts, Victorian Streetcar and Kyler Brownsville. And I know that they do have voiced an opinion of not having boutique hotels there. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Discussion? Oh,
I hadn't filled out a comment card, but I feel impelled to speak.
Hold on.
Is that okay? Do I need to fill out a card? Say my name. Ellie Isaacs. I'm the new director of preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. So I attended actually this meeting only for this item, really, just because I wanted to see what the discussion was going to be. My main concern when reviewing this application was to echo what Mr. Hunsrucker said, but not necessarily in the realm of hotels, but in the realm of apartment buildings, because there's literally an apartment building that takes up the entire block directly across MLK. And that was my concern, was just to yield warning when recombining lots in Kyler Brownsville in the future, that, you know, the petitioner might come before you and want to build an apartment complex on this lot. So that was the only thing that I was going to say. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, did we hear from the petitioner as to why they're not?
The petitioner's not here.
I know. They didn't call and say they weren't coming? Or?
No, sir. I had some ongoing correspondence with Mr. Brewer, the petitioner's surveyor, and at the point that I think Mr. Kemp kind of determined he couldn't help with them, I no longer heard anything.
Yep, discussion. Anything?
So the last meeting that we had, it seemed like his whole purpose was to combine them to have them under one tax bill. Right, which also could be a smokescreen for trying to do bigger development, and I get that. But since they're not here and they haven't sent in a request to continue, I feel like denial is the way to go. Yeah. So if I may make a motion to approve staff's recommendation of denial.
Jeff, that could be a second.
All right. Any discussion? Mr. Warwoody?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Go in reverse order on us. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Ms. Roth?
Yes.
Mr. Nochica?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Ms. Amick?
Yes.
And I too say yes. All right. Just like Mr. Josh was doing.
Yeah.
Ms. Yellen, yes.
All right.
Last but not least.
Yes.
Amendment to existing approved master plan 224 Basswood Drive.
All right, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is an amendment to the North Godley Station. I think it's referred to as the Highlands Business Park, the third amendment to its master plan. Today, we are not looking at a request to change any uses. This is actually just a request to amend the text. And so its impact is probably more administrative than anything. One of the challenges that staff faces in keeping up with the PUDs is going back and looking through the standards just to see, you know, what are the setbacks, what is the maximum permissible lot covers, things of that nature. And so we are kind of in those weeds with this request. In essence, this is a request to bring the development standards for 11 commercially designated parcels in the Highlands Business Park and make it consistent with the City of Savannah's zoning ordinance for the Neighborhood Business Zoning District. To give some context, first and foremost, this is, you can kind of see just there at the end of the North Godley Station PUD. You can see all the residences, and so right here at this very end, you've got kind of this clamshell-shaped business park that's right here, and that's where we are today. This is actually the master plan exhibit for the third amendment to this particular master plan, and I'd say the biggest takeaway here is this chart that you're going to see right here, which is directly from the City of Savannah's zoning ordinance. And so, again, the petitioner is just requesting to allow development on these 11 orange parcels that you see here to be consistent with the development standards for the Neighborhood Business District in the City of Savannah's zoning ordinance. And so you can see in this chart, this is what is included here, the BN. These are going to be the relevant setbacks. I'd just also like to take a second to point out, as there are some existing residences here, these are the buffer standards. We have some existing Class 2 uses, and all future uses are going to be consistent with Class 4. And so the buffering standards are still going to put us here at the Type C buffer. So, again, these are the types of things that we're reviewing as individual site plans come in for these parcels within the PUD. So just to give you a peek under the hood there, for those things I didn't discuss, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. And with that, staff does recommend approval of this request to apply the BN district development standards to the 11 parcels identified. I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Is the petitioner here?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Ryan Smith. I'm here representing Highlands Park Commercial. Say hello to a few familiar faces I haven't seen in a while. This is the last item, so I won't take a bunch of time. I'm here to answer any questions. Appreciate staff's help on this. Godley goes back 20 something years. It's not easy to review it when you've been here for less than a year. So they did a great job. And again, I'm here to answer any questions, but really this is providing clarity. The parcels already have the BN land use that was approved by Planning Commission. We're just simply applying the city's new zone to those lots.
Any questions?
Good to see you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Public comment?
Thank you.
All right. None online? Any discussion? Motion?
Cole's motion approves staff's recommendation for approval.
No, it's second.
All right. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Nochica?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Woodwoody?
Yes.
And I too say yes. So, we have no presentations, no other business, no executive session.
Coles motion to adjourn.
Thank you guys.